Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today is the Sunday we call Good Shepherd Sunday, but for centuries, this Sunday was called by its Latin name, Misericordius Domini, which means the tender mercies of the Lord. Those two names for this Sunday belong together, as we find them together in the 23rd Psalm. And they help us remember something very important, that our Good Shepherd is all about mercy. So what is mercy? It's not easy to define or describe in just a few words. I sometimes use the definition that mercy is not getting what we deserve, which is okay, but it doesn't really say what mercy is, but what it's not. It's not justice. For justice is getting what we deserve. And justice, we know. Justice follows rules. Justice can be defined and clearly laid out. And so mercy is related to justice, yet different from it. Or to bring this into theological categories, justice is of the law, and mercy is of the gospel. The law is specific. The law tells us what should be done and what should not be done. The law is about punishment, revenge, just deserts. It is measurable. But mercy is different. Mercy is forgiveness, repaying evil with good, loving our enemies, and praying for those who persecute us, turning the other cheek. It is not so specific, because anything of the gospel is gift. It is not about measuring, but about giving. It is not about paying back in right and equal proportions, but freely giving what is not deserved. It is about receiving what in fact cannot be paid back. Mercy is also not natural to us. It is something that must be learned. As children, we quickly learn of the law and punishments, of consequences and justice. Children are often very strict, very exact. Mercy takes more time. Law and justice is received. Mercy is formed. Justice is easy. Mercy is hard. Justice is demanded. Mercy can only be begged. Well, today we hear of our Good Shepherd and we hear of his mercy. He is our shepherd of mercy, for what he does for us is completely undeserved. What he gives to us is completely gift. For we are sinners, sinners who deserve nothing but punishment, nothing but condemnation. We are sheep who love to wander. And where do we wander? Where we should not be and do not belong. We look to pastures that we believe are greener but are in fact filled with death. Instead of remaining in the green pastures of God's Word, we feast on the deadly wisdom of the world. Instead of remaining in the ways of the Lord, we follow paths that seem to make more sense or seem more successful, but only lead to sadness and hunger. And whether it is in ignorance or in rebellion, wandering is still wandering. It is still separation from the care of our Good Shepherd. And while we may wind up with our stomachs stuffed, our lusts satisfied, or our emotions temporarily happy, we are not better off, but lost, hurt, trapped, and in danger. And so we prayed today, Lord, have mercy. Perhaps better to say, we begged for it. For us and for all people, many times. For it is what we who have wandered yet again this week truly need. And it is what our Savior has come to give. For yes, our Shepherd comes to us and comes for us. He comes looking for us to mercy us, just as He always does. Just as He did with Adam and Eve when they chose the pastures that Satan offered, but which brought death. They wandered. They were afraid. They hid themselves both from God and from each other. But God came looking for them, already in the garden, showing Himself our Good Shepherd. He came and called out to His frightened little lamb by name, Adam, where are you? That is what He does now for you. Jesus told us today that He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out, like Adam. He comes to find you and call you back, not in condemnation, but with the forgiveness of your sins. The forgiveness He Himself would earn for you on the cross and provide for you in His Word and sacraments. That the door to God and paradise, slammed shut by sin, be once again opened to you by Jesus. For as Jesus goes on to say, He Himself is the door that leads to eternal life, the door of mercy. Peter talked about that mercy in the epistle this morning, that Jesus did not get what He deserved so that we would not get what we deserve. Jesus deserved praise and honor as God, but instead bore our sins in His body on the tree. He got what we deserved, the death and condemnation of the cross. And He did so in mercy so that we would not get what we deserved, that we would not die in sin, but die to sin and live in righteousness, that we might live His life, which is truly a gift that sheep who continually wander off do not in any way deserve. And yet it's yours. It's yours. From the cross, Jesus is calling to you by name, to lead you out of hiding, out of shame, out of condemnation, with His, I forgive you. I forgive you all your sins. For as Peter said, by His wounds you have been healed. And it is this healing that Jesus now gives to you. For as Peter says, you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That is an interesting verse, because the word returned there is actually in the passive voice, which means that our return is not something we have done at all, but was something done to us. We were not the active ones. Someone else was. We didn't find our own way back. We were found and brought back by our good shepherd, by our merciful shepherd. For most of us, that happened when we were baptized as infants, which is a wonderful picture of the love and mercy of our good shepherd. For in baptism, through his word joined to the water, our good shepherd comes to us as helpless infants and scoops us up in his mercy, bringing the littlest and most vulnerable of his lambs back into his flock. But it's not just infants. No matter how old you are, your good shepherd comes and calls for you, calling you with his word and scooping you up with his forgiveness. Like Adam, that's not our doing. That's not something we seek on our own, no matter how old or smart or sophisticated you are. Our sin and shame frightens us into hiding from others and from God. Hiding that can take all kinds of forms, from proud denial of our sins to good-sounding excuses for our sins to actual physical separation and hiding. But God in his mercy comes for you to mercy you and rescue you, to find you and restore you, that you may have life and have it abundantly. Life in Christ and under his care. Life not alone and on your own. Life that not even death can end. For the good shepherd who laid down his life for you also took up his life again in the resurrection, and will in mercy raise you as well. That the life he gives here not end here, but last forever. Now, how he will do that for you may be quite different than the person sitting next to you. His mercy is the same. His word is the same. But you are not all the same. And you are not all the same to him. For as we heard, he calls you each by name, which means he doesn't treat us all the same, but exactly as he knows we need. That it sometimes upsets people that God doesn't treat us all the same. They think that he is unfair and unloving because he blesses some more and some less, and gives to some more and to others less. But on the contrary, that only proves his love. For no parent treats all their children the same, for they are not all the same. They have different needs and require different care. So it is with our good shepherd. He calls you each by name, and while he may treat you differently, it is always with the same mercy, the same love, and for the same end, that you have life and have it abundantly, that you have life in the forgiveness of your sins, that you may have life not just here, but both here and forever. So what does such a life look like? Well, we heard it described in the reading from Acts today. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Or in other words, those who are mercied by God have mercy on others. Which doesn't mean that our life together will look exactly like it did in the first century. We're different, and the times are different. But the mercy will be the same. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, that mercy cannot be nailed down and defined in a set of rules and won't always look the same. But rather, as we hear in these verses, mercy meets needs. Prays prayers, speaks the word, forgives those who sin against us, and does not live for self, but in the communities where God has placed us. And this is so, for in mercying you and restoring you to the flock and giving you life, your good shepherd has given you his Spirit. And his Spirit, which lives in you, also lives through you. For though you were passive in receiving that life and Spirit, that life is not now passive, but active. For animated by the Spirit of Christ, you will be like Christ, the Spirit working in you to conform you to the image of the Son. That you be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. Your Father, who in mercy sent his Son, and who in mercy sent his Spirit, and the Spirit who in mercy now leads you to the Son, who in mercy takes you to the Father. Do you see there how Jesus is the door? And thus reunited to God through him, the author and giver of life, you have life, abundant life. And now your good shepherd comes again in mercy to feed you the life he has given with his own body and blood, to strengthen you with his forgiveness, to uphold you with his Spirit, and keep you in himself. That we may be no longer sheep who love to wander, but sheep who love our shepherd. Devoted to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So come now at the call of your Savior. Come now to his mercy and forgiveness. Come now and eat the food of his pasture, which gives eternal life. For the Lord is your shepherd. And so surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.